I hope that is true for us all, that the longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows in us, and the more we notice just how much he has given us, and the more we notice just how much our hearts have been touched, and the burdens that we used to carry, we find freedom from. And instead of a heart that's broken, he kind of picks up those broken pieces and makes us into something new and beautiful. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The word of God for the people of God. All right, I'm going to ask a quick question this morning, and I want to show a hands. How many of us gathered here today over the first 3.5 months of 2018 at some point have felt exhausted, overworked, and stressed out because of it? Right? For whatever reason, we here in America are very good at being overworked and anxious. In fact, we're better at it than the rest of the world. A new study showed that when it comes to feeling overloaded, exhausted, stretched too thin, and stuck in a rat race that seems to have no end, no one on the planet does it better than us. I shared this a few months ago in a sermon about anxiety. I even went as far as to say that people who move to America from other countries immediately adopt our stress and our anxiety and carry it around. And people who used to not be anxious come here and suddenly become anxious. And whether it is our inability to say no to anything or the endless demands that we cannot seem to get away from, it is quite evident that we need some help with this. It is quite evident that this is not what God is calling us to do and how God is calling us to live. Have you ever wondered how we got to this point? Or maybe you're like me and sometimes you don't have time to even wonder that. Sometimes the idea of reflecting sounds great. You just don't know how to fit it into your schedule. And so you just keep up the pace. You just keep going and going and going. You see, living at this pace is not something that God desires for us. So why then are we so willing to put up with being busy? I think there's lots of answers. I'm going to share four with you. The first thing is busy is easier. You might think, well, that sounds weird. Why would he say that? Why is busy easier? Because if you're busy, you can avoid making all the hard choices. You say, I don't have time to think about what's going to happen next year. I don't have time to think about how I need to change my diet for my health. I don't have time to make any of the hard choices for life. I've got too much to do right here. I've got too much to do right now. And so, in that sense, being busy is easier. It's easy if we just stick our heads down and get to work. Also, busy is avoidance. What do I mean? I mean, not only do we avoid the hard choices, but we avoid doing the hard things. You know, when I think about one of the things of necessary to being a pastor, it's spending time with the Lord, and that's necessary for everyone, by the way. But when you're a pastor, it's so crucial that you spend time with the Lord and that you're in prayer and that you seek His revelation about what He desires for our church and our people. And if I get too busy, I can put off doing the big stuff, right? Well, that goes for all of us in every facet of life. In your work, you can do the same thing. Being busy can make it possible for you to avoid all kinds of stuff. Decisions about where to live. Decisions about what to do with your health. Busy is also, thirdly, it's an experience. It's kind of addictive. You know, studies have shown that every time we check an email, when we look at that inbox, there's a chemical action that takes place in our bodies that makes us feel good. Makes us feel like we matter. So how many of us, first thing when we walk in or get up in the morning, do we say, who's emailed me? Who's called me so far? How many text messages have I got? Who's commented on my post that I posted the other day on Facebook? Being busy is an experience. Makes us feel like we matter. And then being busy is a success strategy. People think it's the key to success. And this is mainly Americans, by the way. We are far more busy than the rest of the world. The rest of the world looks at us like we are insane. And they all shake their heads. Because they don't get why we spend all of our time neglecting the things we say we love most and doing most of the things all of the time that we say we hate the most. But we believe it's a strategy for success. And I know I'm going to mispronounce this guy's name, but Lee LaCocca, the former CEO of Chrysler, talked about this issue. And he said in his autobiography, I cannot understand everyone's willingness to be so busy. He said, I'm constantly amazed by the number of people who can't seem to control their schedules. Over the years, he went on to say, I've had many an executive come to me and say with pride, last year I worked so hard that I didn't take any vacation. He went on to say, I just wanted to look at him and say, you dummy. You mean to tell me that you can be in charge of an $80 million project and you can't schedule 2 weeks to spend with your family who you say you love the most? I think sometimes that's how God feels about us when He looks at our schedules. When He looks at how much we jam in there and how little of it has anything to do with Him. And I can imagine Him looking down upon us with love and care and saying, oh, if you knew the joys of being with me. If you knew the fullness of life that I have to offer, and instead of trying to balance life's demands, you would see that most of the things pulling you in all these different directions are not coming from me. That's what this study is going to be all about. And here's why it's so necessary. When you are unable to balance life's demands, there is always a price. There's always a price to be paid because we simply were not made to live frantic lives. One of the first things that happens to us and it causes harm is that there is leakage in your spiritual life. You pray less. You get into God's word less. You come to church less. You care for people less. Because you don't have time for all that. And you grow less in it spiritually. It's one of the first casualties of a busy life. of a schedule that's unsustainable. Secondly, you experience emotional stress. You are overcome. I've already told you how stressed we are out as a people. It's even starting with our kids. The kids are in children's church right now, and I love what Shane Morgan is doing with them. But I'll tell you, if you sit down and you talk with your kids, you will find that kids today are far more stressed out than the kids of the past. We put so much on them. They worry about so much. And we have schedules that are unsustainable. I was talking to a mother recently, and she was describing her two daughters' schedule, and she said, well, one of my daughters is in robotics club, and then when that ends, I've got her in band, and she's also on the swim team and on the basketball team. And I looked at her, and I said, well, what are you trying to do, drive her nuts? How is that any fun? How is there any joy in that? You experience emotional stress. You also struggle with a constant nagging guilt. Because no matter how good you are, no matter how good I am, there is no way we can get done everything that we try to get done. There's always something that we have to push off to tomorrow. There's always something we have to push off to next week. And we carry around a constant nagging guilt. And I want you to know, the guilt that God gives us when it comes to our schedule, it's not about us taking up more to do. It's about us doing the right things in the first place and doing less of the rest. Satan, on the other hand, he wants you to jam-pack as much into your schedule as possible because, as I've said before, busy stands for being under Satan's yoke. He wants you to be so busy that you have time for nothing that is of spiritual significance, and you have no time for people either. And then what happens? You eventually self-destruct in order to escape it all. You'll either self-destruct physically, and you'll end up in the hospital. You'll self-destruct mentally, and you'll have to start quitting things left and right. Or you'll self-destruct in your behavior and start doing things that are so outside of the norm of your character that when they get found out, it blows up everything. And at the end, you have to walk away from a lot of things. Eventually, all this catches up with us. So if you're here this morning and you are running at a pace that you know cannot last, I hope this next 6 weeks blesses you. I hope that you're able to see that all these deadlines, all this stress, all this busyness, it's harming you, your relationship with God, and it's harming everybody around you. Now, the good news is that God has a much better life for us than this. God didn't create you so that you could run 1,000 miles an hour and never have any rest. In fact, as we see, and we're going to spend a whole sermon on this, God actually wants you to rest. God actually commands that you rest. God commands that you stop and you be still. And there's a reason, and we're going to get into that in another series, in another sermon. So how do we take that first step toward getting out of this? Because we're in a mess today, right? And you're thinking about your schedule. This sermon series is not about you becoming a better at scheduling. That's not what this is about. It's not about you being more productive with the time that you have. This is about finding out what you need to get focused on and letting other things fall to the wayside. This morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we get some very crucial instruction about where to begin. And it's all about finding out what matters most. You see, what matters most to God, and I'm going to share three things that matter to God. There are more than three, but three we get from this passage. What matters most to God is you becoming a new creation. You see, God is far more concerned with who you are on the inside than being busy for Him on the outside. This is one of the main reasons why Jesus came and died for you. Yes, He died for your sins. Yes, He died as a ransom for you to give you freedom from sin and death, but He also died so that this old life of yours could be put to death. So that you could be free. But the life you are to live is to be a little bit different. Not a little bit different, a lot different from the life that you put to death. You see, now your life to be lived is all about living in the spirit rather than the flesh. And your old self that was greedy and vengeful and lustful and prideful and arrogant and unforgiving and selfish and all these things that lead us to jam-pack our schedule so tight. God says, I don't want any of that in your heart. That's why Solomon says, my son, my child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands where? In your heart. There's a transformation that's supposed to be happening. You want to know the first key to balancing life's demands? It's figuring out that God wants you to have a whole new set of demands than that of the world. And He wants your heart to be completely different from that of the world. You see, the teaching and the commands of which He speaks is much more than a list of do's and don'ts. It's actually a decision of faith to have Christ live in you. And if you want to make a decision today to let go of your busyness, ask Christ who He wants you to become in Him. What does He want to do in your heart? If we would spend more time allowing the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, then rather than asking God to bless the busy lives that we have, we would find freedom from this incredible, unsustainable pace that we find ourselves in. Because notice, when we're so busy, when we're trying to chase after wealth, when we're trying to chase after power, when we're trying to work on promotion after promotion and trying to do all these things, here's what falls through the cracks. We're not becoming more joyful, more loving, more peaceful, and all the other fruits of the Spirit that God is ready to develop more and more in your life. All that gets cast aside because you don't have time for it. What matters to God is not a busy schedule that from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed leaves no room for Him to work on your heart. What He desires from you is a transformation. All the work has already been done on the cross. Solomon says, don't forget my teaching. Keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life and they'll bring you peace. We also see that what matters most to God is joining a new kingdom altogether. It's about being a new creation and joining a new kingdom. We live in a world, and I think everybody would agree, it's a mess, right? Why is it a mess? Because Satan has a whole lot of influence here. Because people are being led astray. because people are being beat down, because their priorities are getting all out of whack. And in this world system, it is meant to keep us so consumed with the priorities of it that we have no room for the priorities of God. One of the things that happens at the resurrection, at the Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and then his resurrection, is that we are not only set free from sin, but we are set free from this world system. And we have become members of a new kingdom where Christ rules, where he leads us in every way. You want to know why our schedules are so messed up? It's because a lot of us, even though we say we're a part of the new kingdom, even though we say we're a part of God's kingdom, we live as though we care far more about the world's kingdom and about Satan's dominion here. And we care about what people think of us. We care about appearances. We care about what matters to this world. And because of that, it's always come into conflict with God's kingdom. What did Solomon go on to say? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. He's talking about the heart again, isn't he? You want your schedule to change, your heart needs to change. That's what we see in Proverbs 3. Your schedule will never become less busy until you find peace in your heart. It's not going to happen. Will never happen. And until we realize that we were made for another kingdom, until we realize that a part of being a new creation is living in God's kingdom, submitting to his rule in our lives, and surrendering to him in our daily living, our lives are going to be a mess. You see, too many people have schedules that are so full there's no time left for relationships, whether it's a relationship with God or a relationship with those around you. And we fail to realize that even great accomplishment is no substitute for connecting with people. I live in a neighborhood filled with people. Outside of the people who live right around me, the four or five houses, my life is too busy to know all the hundreds of other families that are right next door to me. Anybody ever feel like that? Then we wonder why we feel lonely. We wonder why we're running this huge race and at the end of the day, all we have time left is to maybe spend a few minutes with our family and all the people who live around us. Well, yeah, I wish I could talk to them about Christ. I wish I could lead them to the Lord, but I don't have to. I'm too busy for all that. We've got to remember that what matters to God is you being a part, being that new creation, becoming that new creation, and joining that new kingdom with a whole new set of priorities. And the only way you can do those two things is to discover that what matters most to God is you trusting a new decision maker. It's you trusting that God will help you to take care of all these things. What does he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. The biggest reason why we're a mess is because we don't trust God. Think about it for a second. If I don't trust God to take care of my finances, what am I going to do? I'm going to work more hours. I'm going to make sure that I'm taking things into my own hands. And I'm going to work at such a frantic pace that I'm able to get a promotion, or I'm able to get a new job, or I'm able to meet those quotas that I've been given to meet. I'm going to make sure I do everything I have to do, because that'll be the only thing that provides for me. Right? So what do? We get busier and busier and busier. We do the same thing in churches, right? Oh, we want more people to be in here. Yes, we want more people to be in here. I'll tell you what the solution isn't: having something going on here every night of the week. You know why? Because that'll wear us all out and we'll be half-hearted in everything we do. If we try and pick up that kind of pace, what we're saying is, God, we don't trust you to add to us. We're going to try and add to us. We do this in our homes. We do this at our jobs. We do this with our kids. And our kids know it. They know we're stressed out. They know we're burdened. They know we're overworked. And it's all because we're not trusting God. And instead, we're trying to take control of everything, and we've made a mess of it. What's God's solution? Trust me. Trust me with your health. Trust me with your finances. Trust me with your children. Trust me with your families. Trust me that if you walk in a way where you put me first, that just as I take care, just as the Lord takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds in the air, so he will take care of you. What matters most to God is us trusting him. Trusting him to be with us. Trusting the new creation he's called us to be, created us to be. And trusting him enough to submit to his rule. That's step number one of balancing life's demands. Realizing that our schedules are all messed up because our priorities are all messed up. And if we'll flip that and let God to be the one to tell us what to do and when to do it, we'll be able to see lasting change. Let us pray. Almighty God, we need your help with this. For many of us, having busy schedules, we've been doing it for so long, we don't know how to stop. Forgive us this morning. Forgive us for saying yes to so many things that we end up having to say no to everything because we get so worn out. Help us to get our hearts right. Not through anything we've done, but because of the work that Christ did for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And Lord, help us to remember that we're citizens of a new kingdom. And if we would but trust you, we would be able to even live as residents there, right here and right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn of invitation, I can't help but think about a study I read about this week. And this is what happens when we get busy. At Princeton University, they went to the seminary there, and they had 30 ministers, people studying to be ordained ministers. And they sent 15 of them. They said, you're going to preach about theology. And another 15, they said, you're going to preach about the Good Samaritan story. And then along their path leading up to where they were going to give the sermons, they put someone who was in need. And wouldn't you know it didn't make a lick of difference the number of people that would stop and help that person, whether they were preaching about theology or the Good Samaritan. The same percentage of people helped that person. Here's what changed it. They told half the people that they were on time and had plenty of time to get there. And they told the other half that they were running late. and that caused a 50% increase in the amount of people who stopped to help. So when I say that people around you suffer when you're busy, it's not just you that's suffering, it's everybody. It's your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. Everybody around us suffers. And so does our walk with the Lord. So if the Lord is laying this on your heart this morning, if you feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, you know you've got a problem with your schedule. You know that the path you're on is literally unsustainable. Come down to the altar and ask God to help you. Come down to the altar and bring that schedule and lay it down before the Lord. And say, I don't want to live like that anymore. Come as you feel led by the Holy Spirit.